guest here at Jerome Cusan, and you can, of course, find this and all of our other podcasts, plus articles and show reviews at pwponderings.com. You can also support us by leaving a 4 or 5 star review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. However you listen to your podcast, please leave us a review so other people can not only find this podcast, but you can help support what we do. If you would like to financially support us, you can go to Amazon or High Spots. Just click the links on pwponderings.com and you can do that. And if this is the first time you're listening, what we do is discuss the news of the weekend in independent wrestling and some other stuff going on, as well as we have a very busy week coming up. This Wednesday, we have NXT TakeOver, The End. As some of you are listening to this, so this may have already happened, the final night of the Best of the Super Juniors is taking place very early Tuesday morning. Then NXT TakeOver. And then this weekend, we've got Evolve, we've got Chikara, we've got CZW's Tournament of Death, and we also have Freelance Wrestling. All are running this very weekend. But before we get to that, we've got some news to discuss, and to do that, the only man here, he is the last man standing, Brian is here. And Brian, I know that you've got to be fired up for all the wrestling coming to us this weekend.
Definitely. I mean, yeah, I'm already fired up from the weekend. I missed last Monday because I got invited to a last-minute barbecue, and it was one of the most enjoyable barbecues ever, especially with that Game 7 and watching Steph Curry go off and all that kind of thing. And a week later, they're 2-0 in the series for the finals, so who would have thought of that? But yeah, I'm happy. I mean, UFC was this weekend, and other things happened this weekend. And we got the, you know, Brock Lesnar coming back to UFC at the same time with WWE.
Brock Lesnar is going to be legally murdered by Mark Hunt at UFC 200.
Probably, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's the other way around, because Mark Hunt is an old gorilla. Let's just say that. That dude's old. He's 42. But yeah, and then you got what? They announced, technically re-announced the NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, which is now the same day as UFC 202, Conor McGregor facing Nate Diaz again. And yeah, that's going to be a hell of a weekend there. So lots going on. Best of the Super Juniors. I watched the Saturday night. Everyone thought I was crazy calling a four-way tie with Ospreay winning out, but they kind of gave it away when they revealed the match listings ahead of time. So, I mean, for all you people who thought, oh, Ricochet is going to win it against Chase Owens, and yeah, there's a reason he's not the main event of B-Block. So there you go, kids.
Brian to Brain, making predictions. Remember when I predicted the J-Lit correctly, Brian?
Yes, you did. And I was almost there. I mean, I had Cedric Alexander going all the way. Did not make the final, but – or did he make the final? No, he didn't make the final.
He lost in the second round.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, Christ's sake, we had, I mean, Dan Severn in a four-way match in 2016.
With Tim Donst and Raymond Rowe, I mean, that, and Tracy Williams, that's fantastic. definitely check out smartmarkvideo.com as they have the streaming of those particular events plus the Back to the Future Cup. In addition, Brian, AIW has gotten themselves into the podcasting game, as John Thorne and Chandler Biggins will be doing a weekly AIW podcast, which you can also find on Stitcher and iTunes. I have not yet had a chance to listen to the show, but I will be doing so very soon. So, Brian, very soon, the AIW crew, they have their own podcast to bury me instead of me burying them. So we'll have to see how that works.
I'm very intrigued. Very, very intrigued, but should be fun. I mean, it's, you know, exploring the mind of a promoter and how they want to book things, I guess. You know, very interesting stuff like that. Very beyond the match, kind of, a little bit.
I will say this, you know, I think wrestling promoters always have a very negative sort of ambiance as carnies and liars. And I think John and Chandler certainly have been some of the more honest promoters that we have ever dealt with, and I think that speaks very well of him. And I would say the same thing about Drew Cordero as well. And that's not to say they don't have their secrets, but as far as openness and willing to discuss things, they are very, very good at that. And I'm sure their podcast that you can find through their Twitter account at AIW Wrestling. I'm sure it's going to be worth listening to. So that is free, and definitely get on that. And I will be watching the Jaylit very soon, and there will be reviews being posted up at pwponderings.com.
And if anything, we'll probably review, I don't know, not both the shows, because I know that one's 12, 13 matches, but maybe we, since the tournament has become condensed on night two, maybe we can do a review of, like, the three semifinals and the finals, and that seems like a kind of reasonable review for within the next couple weeks. So, you know, we haven't done an AIW review. I mean, we did Girls Night Out, technically, I think, sort of. But yeah, so we'll definitely, I mean, it's got a lot of buzz, we've been talking about it, so, and I definitely want to. Dan Severn in a four-way match, what can you say?
Absolutely, and there are some other breaking news that I would love to get your thoughts on, Brian. As today, PWG tweeted out, Cody Rhodes made a list of all the things that he wanted to do, and ever so slowly he has been crossing things off, as after his contractual obligation to WWE is over, He already has scheduled matches with Mike Bennett and Kurt Angle. Very soon you'll probably be hearing a match signing with Pat Buck. One of the other things that was on that list, of course, was Bola. And PWG tweeted out that list with the Bola checkmark. So one can surmise that Cody Rhodes will be in the 2016 Battle of Los Angeles. So there are two things to discuss, Brian. I want to first get your thoughts on Cody Rhodes just being in Bola. So why don't you discuss that first, and then we'll talk about what my theory is as to when Bola takes place.
I'm really excited for Cody Rhodes coming in. I know he's not known for his singles work or whatever, but to me, like, I'll always, like, remember his WWE run with him and Goldust for, like, that late 2013 period of him just tearing it up in the tag division. So the idea of him potentially going up against the Bucks sometime, and I hope it is in PWG, maybe he'll be on night three if he doesn't go all the way in the tournament and he can cross things off on the list. It'll be like My Name Is Earl, he's crossing multiple things off the list at the same time. Two birds with one stone kind of thing going on. So I'm hoping, like, he faces off with Trevor Lee in the tournament, maybe even a match with Moose, and then that's, you know, saying the Moose. I'm calling it now, Moose and Bola. That's my prediction. And having a monster run and just tearing it up. But I can totally see him and Cody having a match, and just Cody using the tournament aspect to kind of cross things off the list. And as a whole, like, from what I've gathered, like, there's a lot of buzz around him coming in, like, to the point where people are saying, man, we should move the building, you know, to a new building, blah, blah, blah. But as you saw, he's like, he put receipt in the tweet, so it's definitely going to be in the receipt of building. So tickets are going to be, I want to see even more crazier than last year, which is going to be insane compared to how crazy it was last year to get tickets and how Bola sold out in like 5 minutes and three nights. God knows how much money they made in 5 minutes. And they're going to do it again. I wouldn't be surprised if they charged more, but at the same time, like,
I'm calling it right now. Those front row seats are going to be $100. I am 100% serious. I think $100 front row seats will be for Bola this year. I predict it's going to cost you $300 to get in the door. Front row for all three nights.
It's a good thing I never buy front row, but yet somehow end up front row anyway, because hey, an open seat's an open seat, so. But yeah, I feel like the general consensus amongst the, like, my friends, especially, like, the ones where diehard indie fans are, like, sort of excited, like, kind of whatever, but the casual indie wrestling fan that kind of watch more WWE that I'm friends with as well, they're, like, really excited to see Cody Rhodes in Bola, especially since, like, my buddy Mike, right, he only goes to, like, Bola every year, and that's it, because he can't really afford to go to all these indie shows, and he's got, you know, a social life and everything, but as soon as he heard Cody Rhodes, like, man, I'm going to give you like $150 that night and just buy my tickets because I know you're on point with PayPal. And so, yeah, it's getting pretty serious already, guys. And my God, it's going to be insane getting tickets. And yeah, I'm really excited for Cody Rhodes to come in. I know if you work with like certain people, it brings the best out of you. And I feel like a lot of this indie talent will bring the best out of Cody Rhodes. And I think we're going to see a side of Cody Rhodes that I haven't seen before. I think the same thing that happened with Drew McIntyre, this is going to happen with Cody Rhodes. And I can just totally see him have these amazing matches with like Trevor Lee and I mean, that's the one, because especially since you put on the list, that's the one magic picture in my head, like, that will really click. And I think they're going to click really well if that happens, and I think it should happen in Bola.
I think Drew McIntyre / Galloway is a significantly better wrestler than Cody Rhodes. I mean, Cody Rhodes is not someone that I've ever been super impressed with as a wrestler. And, you know, if I were in PWG's position, I think you have to give the guy an opportunity. I mean, if this is someone who is, you know, he's basically been in the WWE system for the last 10 years, and really, this is the only thing he knows. I mean, was he ever on, I don't think he's been on the independent scene, really, even before WWE, so really the only thing, that's all he knows. And, you know, again, if I'm in PWG's shoes, or, you know, I'm in PWS or Northeast Wrestling, some of the places that have booked him, and even Evolve, I mean, I'm taking a chance on the guy. But just me personally, I have not been impressed with anything I've seen out of Cody Rhodes, particularly in singles action. And to me, if you can't have good matches with Sami Zayn, then quite frankly, I don't know what you're doing in wrestling. And he had a couple of extremely boring matches with Sami Zayn. So, and none of his other work has been impressive either, as far as I'm specifically focusing on the singles work. I mean, you know, I agree that the tag stuff with Goldust against the Shield, that was very compelling stuff. But as far as being a singles wrestler, and when you're an independent wrestler, unless you are the Young Bucks, you really have to be able to survive on your own and thrive on your own. The Young Bucks are literally the only duo that gets away with it. I mean, even Jake Briscoe and Mark Briscoe do a lot of singles, and, you know, Raymond Rowe and Hanson are a lot of singles. And yeah, I'm just not sure how I feel about this. I mean, I'm certainly going to give him a chance. When I sit down and I watch it Evolve or I watch Ebola, I'm going to give him a chance. But if you're asking me whether I'm excited or whether I want to see Cody Rhodes and Ebola, I would have to say no at this point.
Interesting. Well, the way I see it is, like, I think for him, like, he's probably saved up a bunch of money over the last 10 years. I mean, being in a wrestling family, knowing how the business works, they probably told him to save his money. I'm pretty sure he's got a lot of money saved up. And I feel like this is just him trying to, like, try something new. You know what I mean? Try that, the indie thing. And I mean, he obviously with that list, he picked, like, a lot of top talent, and he didn't.
And to be fair, I give him a lot of credit for that list and not just doing the PWS and the Northeast wrestling scene and doing some of that stuff. I mean, I think he deserves a lot of credit for putting himself out there. And, you know, I don't want to take that away from him, but I'm just saying as a wrestler, as actually watching him, not nothing for me.
I get the feeling that this will bring something completely new out of him, and we're going to see a new, maybe even a new moveset, because you know that WWE style is really conducive to certain, like, you know, chin locks, breast holds, yelling at the crowd if you're a heel, that kind of thing. But in this case, it's very much, I mean, it's, you know, it's improv, especially with PWG crowds. I mean, you really got to, like, go on the fly with some of what they say and, like, go off what they say in the crowd and kind of, you know, incorporate into the match. And this is going to really push him, like, artistically in the ring, and I'm really, I get the feeling that you put him in the ring with the right guys, like, some magic can happen with him.
I if I were a betting man, I would bet Cody Rhodes, Chris Hero, night one of Bola. That's my prediction. Because I think that's the match you do. I mean, there is nobody else that I would put in there for your first PWG match than the guy who's probably the most outstanding wrestler in the world right now. That to me is a safe bet. That's what I would do. If I were in PWG's position, I would just say Chris Hero, Cody Rhodes, main event night one, do it.
And wouldn't surprise me one bit.
If you can't have a good match with Chris Hero, then you really should consider retiring. Because Chris Hero's having great matches with literally everyone in every company. So this is it. I mean, this is the opportunity. And if you're going to give Cody Rhodes every chance to succeed, then you put him against Chris Hero. I don't think there's any way around that. But I do want to address this because Cody Rhodes is booked for Evolve on August the 19th. He is also booked against Mike Bennett and Kurt Angle August 26th and 27th. Basically, that eliminates the possibility of Bola taking place during the month of August, since Cody Rhodes cannot contractually wrestle until after August 19th. So, Brian, that means Bola is most likely going to be taking place over the weekend of Labor Day, and that will be September 1st through September 4th. And, Brian, I want to point this out to you. We are looking at a world where King of Trios, Chikara's biggest event of the weekend, it is going to be going up against Bola. Well, not really going up against, but Bola and King of Trios could potentially be on the same weekend for the first time ever. And I'm curious to know, Brian, I'm going to be getting the thoughts of Kevin Ford and Justin Houston on this tomorrow. But obviously for you, you are Team PWG. You tweet out the live results of PW Ponderings. You'll most likely be tweeting out those PWG Bola results. What do you think of this taking place, both of the biggest weekends of the year for two of the biggest independents? What do you think of this going on in the same weekend, potentially?
Okay, if this was 5 years ago, then I think I would have made a move about it. Thinking like, man, the town's going to be split up, because like back then, like, you know, they were booking like El Generico and King of Trios, the Young Bucks and King of Trios, you know, those kind of towns. But now Chikara seems to be focused on their homegrown town, which is fine, you know, it's totally fine, which is kind of a smart thing to do anyway. You want to raise your own crops and, you know, and kind of go with your own guys. But I feel like the talent is not really split up anymore. Like, you really have that kind of PWG set of guys and then the Chikara set of guys. The only person I can think of that would cross over potentially, Chuck Taylor, you know. And that's about it. Maybe because last year we were talking about this off air, but like, because of the Lucha Underground guys, they won the tournament last year for King of Trios. Usually you have the King of Trios previous champions defending the title in the tournament. But in this case, you know, they could be, you never know, they could be split up. Like, half of it could be a PWG and half of it could be at Chikara. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you had, like, you know, the same guys as last year, Dragon Phoenix, Errol Starr, you know, representing in the tournament for King of Trios, and then over in, you know, PWG, we can have Pentagon Jr., maybe someone else, and, you know, with Cage and Jeff Cobb, there's that kind of Lucha representation there. So I think the talent is kind of just so widespread now that you don't have to rely on, you know, certain talent working all these different promotions on all these different weekends. So, you know, I think it's cool that, like, you can finally have a chance to have both in the same weekend. Is that Labor Day? Last year, I remember that Sunday for night three of Bola, I just wanted that show to end. I was so tired, and then I was like, I work the next morning, man. I got to get up at 6. And then, yeah, and then, you know, this year, back to Labor Day, you know, the Bolas that used to be on Labor Day weekend were the best anyway, because I had that extra day to just, like, rest and recuperate, kind of, you know, put myself back together for going crazy during Bola weekend. And, you know, this Bola weekend's going to be crazy, you know, again, and probably even crazier. So yeah, it's gonna be a fun weekend as usual, but you know, especially now with the word is that Chikara is gonna put the shows like as quickly as possible now on Chikaratopia and not wait the 6 months or whatever. At least
that is also speculation at this point. Nothing is official, but if you go to Chikara Pro, they announced that all of the 2016 shows, including the May ones, are going to be posted on Chikaratopia. So there is a potential change in philosophy. There is also the potential for Chikara to get into the streaming pay-per-view business. They have been doing some test streams on Chikaratopia. They are going to be doing a live presentation on August the 21st. I have a feeling that is a dress rehearsal for King of Trios. And if King of Trios is going to be live streamed anyway, then the odds are pretty good that there are going to be no Ring of Honor talents on King of Trios for contractual reasons. And obviously Ring of Honor and PWG have their deal. So I'm in agreement with you at this point. I don't see it as a big deal. I don't see a lot of real crossover in talent. And if you look at the first three teams that have been announced, there have been three female-led teams. The Sendai Girls are a much-anticipated trio. You've got Team Shimmer. The one thing this does mean for you, Brian, is that Candice LeRae probably not going to be in Bola because she is on Team Shimmer.
It's okay. That's totally fine. I think Candace is kind of done with PWG anyway. I kind of think like that 8-man guerrilla warfare at the end of December. It's kind of like her pseudo farewell. They didn't want to really say it because I mean obviously she moved out to Cleveland. Now she used to live in the California area. She moved out there, living the dream with Johnny Gargano in Cleveland. So that's totally fine in my book. Let her enjoy her life. You know she can always have a spot when she comes back. But for right now, let her enjoy. There's always a bunch of open spots anyway for hungry, eager talent. So, I mean, even like if you think about it, there's a lot of talent that hasn't been in PWG in a while that we've booked like for a couple shows here and there for the last couple of years. But I mean, still, you guys, I mean, there's guys like Beaver Boys who have been booked since like a year, I think. Who else? Team Tremendous hasn't been there in like a year. A lot of guys have been booked for PWG and. It's just going to be really interesting that bowling weekend because, I mean, every year the talent roster for the tournament is just off the chain.
One of the things that I think Bola is going to take on a very different look because there are a couple of guys who I believe are going to be in WWE by the time this tournament rolls around. I don't want to get into specifics, but the two names that I think we are going to see, I predict we're going to see Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow both in Bola this year. There's something that screams them being in Bola as singles, and then they can do either a tag on night two or night three, and they can do the Young Bucks match. So that's what I think they're going to do.
That sounds awesome. But my other alternative to the Damian Sandow plan, if he does, if I go to PWG for a few shots, I would save him for DDT4. I would team him with Dalton Castle and just have him win the whole goddamn thing.
We'll see how that all works out. But it is worth noting that Chikara, we mentioned this a little bit earlier, but all of their 2016 events are going to be posted onto Chikaratopia. Now is a great time to become a member of that particular website if you would like to become a member of Chikaratopia and get back into the company or get into the company for the first time. So yeah, you're going to be able to watch all of 2016 Chikara as of tomorrow, potentially as you are listening to this. You may be able to catch up. So we're going to have more on this later on this week. Kevin Ford, Justin Houston, and we will be recording Viva Chikara and talking a little bit about this big news, plus King of Trios, plus the show that is taking place this Saturday. The name of this show is Tightrope. And Brian, what do you think of this move by Chikara to make all of their 2016 shows available for fans through their streaming service?
Makes the most sense to me. To me, it's like the instant grant. Like as soon as you hear like that a show is good and that happened like yesterday, you really want to see it because it just happened. And I think that's where you can make most of your money in those impulse buys. It's like you hear the word of mouth. It happened just yesterday. It feels fresh. I gotta watch it. It feels so fresh that I'm gonna watch it right now. I think when you have that 6-month window, you just forget about it. I mean, I can't even remember what I was doing 6 months ago. You know what I mean? Like right off the top of my head. And it's like, oh man, how do I gotta remember these stories from 6 months ago if I'm only relying on this instant, you know, streaming service. So it only makes sense. You want to keep everything up to date. You know, and that's, I mean, that's what I keep thinking. Like, King of Trios is going to be just as successful because, if anything, people are going to be downloading, like, that day. I mean, I remember King of Trios, the one that crashed the website, 2012, 2011, something like that. I think that was
either 2011. I forget the first year that they did the 24 hours. I think I could swear it was 2011 that they did. That was the first time they did the 24-hour deal.
Yeah, that was dope. They crashed the website, but in this case, because you don't have to download now, it'll be on the streaming service. Less, because it used to take me like 45 minutes to download that thing on my computer. So instant gratification, man, and that's what you want. And I can just I picture people like literally in line for Bola, finishing King of Trios. If they do it live, you can still watch it live. Technically, because it'd be what 5 p.m. our time, West Coast, right?
That is absolutely crazy to think about that you could have people in line watching King of Trios just as they're about to go to Bola.
Hey, man, it makes sense to me, and you know, give the love where you can if you can afford it. it's one of those big weekends. And like I said, Labor Day is a very big weekend because, you know, that extra day off, it gives a lot more leeway for people to go crazy and spend more money. So it makes more sense. I'm glad that's the rumor. And usually, from what I hear, certain things about PWG dates lately, it's usually on the mark. Shout out the Hot Tub Back.
For sure. And it's worth noting the original Divas Revolution team was announced. It will be Victoria, Jazz, and Mickey James. They will be a part of King of Trios. And I am a firm believer that we are going to have a fourth female team as well, plus the usual assortment. I don't think it's going to be all female. I think there is going to be the usual assortment of regular Chikar teams. I think you're absolutely going to see the Colony. The original three, so to speak, Soldier Ant, Fire Ant, and Silver Ant, I think they are going to be involved with Trios this year. I'm a firm believer that you're going to see some form of the Nightmare Warriors as well. So you're going to get all of that. But this this Saturday, Chikar, they'll be running Tightrope. And Brian, I love this line. The card is scheduled for 6 bouts in all, and we can't wait to test out our brand new spanking air conditioning system.
Wow. Air conditioning at an indie show in 2016? Man. That's the
yes, dress. Indeed. And on the this looks like a pretty good card. Mr. Touchdown versus Juan Francisco de Coronado in a no disqualification match. Dasher Hatfield will be the special referee. Eddie Kingston versus Jaka, a four-corner elimination tag, plus the return of Jigsaw in a proper one-on-one match. That takes place this Saturday. We'll have more on that for Viva Chikara. But, Brian, let's go over some results from this past weekend. PWPonderings.com/results. You can see what Pro Wrestling Freedom had to do. So Jennifer Lynn has a chance to go to a lot of events in the Kentucky and Indiana areas. So what you're going to probably be seeing is a lot of results from those areas, and that includes Pro Wrestling Freedom, as well as IWA Mid-South that she goes to. And this past Friday, they ran their event called Everybody Dies, which is what I call Game of Thrones. And Reed Bentley retained his IWA Mid-South heavyweight title. Matt Cage won a big-time match, and they will be back this Friday night as well. This Thursday night. Michael Elgin will be wrestling Reed Bentley for the IWA Mid-South title this Thursday in Clarksville, Indiana at Jammers. So that's a pretty big deal to have a Thursday night event with Michael Elgin challenging for that particular title. We also had CWF Mid-Atlantic running their Battle Bowl event. They are building up to the big Andrew Everett versus Trevor Lee matchup that takes place on Saturday, June the 18th, and that's going to be a really big deal, obviously. And you can check those results at pwponderings.com/results. John Zandig, the Tournament of Survival, it actually happened. The Tournament of Survival really did happen. We had Zandig. In one of the more infamous moments, we had Zandig defeating Joey Janela via a slam from the roof to contraption of light tubes and barbed wire on a table on fire. And there was a pretty famous GIF, or GIF, depending on how you pronounce it, that we all saw. And that is pretty much the only thing that has been seen from the show. Danny Havoc became the first ever Tournament of Survival champion. And so John Zandig back in the world of wrestling, and it was announced that Nick Gage, coming out of prison for the second annual Nick Gage Invitational, that Nick Gage will be a part of that. So Nick Gage is coming back to pro wrestling again. A lot to talk about, Brian, but, you know, I think there's a – you. I know you and I are not particularly fans of death matches, so it really isn't our place to speak about this. But do you have any thoughts on John Zandig and or Nick Gage?
First of all, I can't believe Zandig did that at his age. You forgot to mention that this was all that stuff, that the table, the fire, the glass. It was also on the truck, but the bed of a truck. So, damn it. Shit like that. Especially at his age, like, wow. I mean, it's nuts, and I don't know if it's a good thing. I don't know if it's a bad thing. I saw Janelle was in the hospital afterward. I hope he got paid. That's all I gotta say, because that seems to be the only thing that would be worth it is the money, and not really the fame. I would rather be known as a famous in-ring worker than a guy just jumping off of a roof. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, and it was funny because I think I saw another GIF, like minutes before I saw the Joey Chappelle one, and it looked like it was the same match, but then you look closely, it was like Zandig from like 15 years ago. Doing the exact same thing, the exact same spot, like in the exact same truck or something. It was nuts. My God. Zandig doing this shit in 2016, man. Holy shit.
And did you see the injury that Joey Janela suffered?
I did not see the exact injury, but I can only imagine going through a table.
He suffered like a severed. He suffered like a severed thumb or something like that.
Good God!
Let me look at it. No, it's like a ridiculous injury. It's not what you would expect. Given the bump, it wasn't like a broken neck or anything. Yes, he suffered tendon damage in his thumb.
I hope he's got insurance. That's all I gotta say.
Yes, he sliced a tendon in his thumb. I'm sorry, I screwed this up. Yes, a sliced tendon in his thumb. He took that bump and got that injury.
He better get paid. Seriously, all those guys in that thing. And I just can't believe Nick Gage coming back for the second annual tournament of his name, and lest we forget that he didn't even show up for the first one because he got arrested.
Yes, absolutely. So, of course, you can go check out everything that's going on there. But CZW is running their own Tournament of Death. So last week was the Tournament of Survival. This Saturday is the Tournament of Death. It is one of CCW's biggest events of the year. It is their 15th annual event. And it is going to be taking place at the farm in Delaware. I believe that this is going to be streaming on CCW, not live, because good luck getting Wi-Fi in the middle of nowhere in bumfuck Delaware. But it will be on CCW's streaming site very soon thereafter. And it is going to be a tournament of death, including Danny Havoc and Alex Colon, Tim Donst and Ricky Shane Page, Matt Tremont and Jeff Cannonball, plus Connor Claxton and Masada. So some interesting stuff there. If you are a deathmatch fan, of course, you are going to be checking this out. You may already be checking it out if you have no interest, which we totally understand. Then you could just read the results at pwponderings.com. And Brian, I have a feeling you're just going to be reading the results.
As I always do, just reading and just be like, wow. I remember when I used to like this when I was like 10. Hey, man, XPW, man. That was a big LA thing.
Absolutely. So Ring of Honor, they ran a triple shot. Can you believe they ran a triple shot this past weekend?
Felt like one show that everyone kind of briefly tweeted about, but that's how it felt. I could be wrong.
So there was the possibility of a Jay Briscoe injury keeping him out of the main event in Columbus, but indeed it went on. I don't understand this result. Roderick Strong defeated Jay Briscoe in the main event of the Columbus show, and the Addiction retained their tag team titles over the War Machine after outside interference from Keith Lee and Shane Taylor. Brian, I don't know what Ring of Honor is doing. And based on some of the results I was reading, I don't get it.
Well, isn't it obvious? Jay Briscoe's going to win the title and then defend it against Roderick Strong. I don't know. But that's what it sounds like. I mean, you read that. I saw something really sad.
I saw a tweet that were sent out by Words. He said that the tweet of Jay Lethal and Jay Briscoe facing off in the ring, chants of one more time could be heard, but none of the fans were actually chanting it. So Ring of Honor piping in crowd noise to try to get this Lethal and Briscoe. I mean, that's really sad.
Yeah, that's kind of what we expect. Yeah, it's cool. They're doing it one year later. I mean, I remember watching that match last year. I only watched one of the pay-per-views, it seemed like, but that felt like a big deal, but now, because Jim Briscoe just came out of nowhere. I don't feel as a contender. It's really special when you build up the angle for Jay Lethal to go up against Adam Cole and Bullet Club, and you're just not doing it. But yeah, you know, agendas are agendas, and some people have a certain outlook on how the story is going to go, and it would not surprise me. If Jay Briscoe won the title back.
Who knows? I have given up trying to figure out what Ring of Honor is doing. Their best in the world pay-per-view, though, is taking place on June 24th. I will not be doing live coverage. I'll be at Shimmer that night. So somebody else can review that pay-per-view. I will not. So let's discuss some of the things that are going to be taking place over the course of this week. I want to talk about freelance wrestling because we rarely get a chance to do that. And I will be in attendance this very Friday. This Friday, freelance wrestling, they'll be taking on the world at their second anniversary show. It is taking place at the Bottom Lounge, 1375 West Lake Street in Chicago, Illinois. Brian, check this out. I will be in PBR lounge seats this Friday. I spent the extra $10 and will be sitting in what are called PBR lounge seats.
Does that mean you get all you can drink PBR?
I certainly hope so.
That's what I'm finding out.
Isaias Velasquez will be defending his freelance heavyweight title against the winner of a scramble match. The scramble match, it will involve Mustafa Ali, Shogdi, GPA, Alex Olsen, Craig Mitchell, and Nick Brubaker. So that should be a lot of fun. Beauty and the Beast will be challenging for the freelance tag team titles against the N-Words. Jeff Cobb, yes, that Jeff Cobb, will be taking on Robert Anthony, Mr. 450, and Kobe Durst. I get to see Jeff Cobb live, Brian. I'm very excited for this.
Yes, he is a big dude. Actually, I think he's on a local show tomorrow. I saw some tweet, or it's like Torrance or something. He's on a show on a Tuesday, but that's kind of how they run indies here in Cali, apparently. But yeah, you'll be surprised at how big that dude is and how short he is. It's crazy.
He's a pug. That's what you're telling
yes,
me.
Yes, he's very much round in the middle, but muscular everywhere else.
Is he like Rhino? Because Rhino, especially in his ECW days, was that way.
It's kind of like that, but more brute strength. That's all I can say. It's amazing. He's just a beast, like literally a Hawaiian beast. Did I cape in that? I don't know. Whatever. He's Hawaiian.
All right, so this weekend, Evolve Wrestling, these are probably the two biggest indie shows of the week. This Friday, they will be running in Ybor City, four huge matches that I think make this card well worth the money. Matt Riddle and Cedric Alexander. I am so excited for this. I can't even tell you. A non-sanctioned street fight, Johnny Gargano and TJP. They will be taking on Drew Galloway and Ethan Carter III. This is going to be a crazy match. Catch point of Drew Gulak and Tracy Williams. They will be taking on the Bravado Brothers for the Evolve Tag Titles. And Timothy Thatcher versus Chris Hero. Please, for the love of God, let Chris Hero win. That's what I want. That's what I want out of this weekend. I don't care about any other result, but please give Chris Hero the Evolve title. Because Timothy Thatcher as the Evolve champion... not good. Not good at all.
Yeah, he's become like this afterthought since WrestleMania weekend. He started out kind of good, and then he kind of fizzled out with that Sami Callihan match. I don't think he worked the May shows, right? And then he's just kind of like forgotten. So, you know, it's that thing, out of sight, out of mind, man. And that's to quote Lex Luger and Dusty Rhodes in their feud from 1987. That's a reference right there. But yeah, it's just like out of sight, out of mind, and you feel like he's not even... like an important part of the promotion right now. It seems like the focus is the Gargano Galloway feud, which is like the top feud right now, followed by Catchpoint just running, not roughshod, but just kind of like being the entire mid card. And you know, Thatcher's kind of just kind of there right now, and hopefully, I mean, Chris Hero is just tearing it up right now. He's wrestler of the year right now in the Indies, probably. Him and maybe, I don't know, maybe Zach and Ospreay are on the top level, but for what Hero's been able to do, the style of matches that he's been able to produce, and like his slow, methodical movements and stuff, like. He's like the perfect world. So like right now, he's a much better choice as an Evolve champion than he was when he was a Evolve champion back in 2014, 15. His run was gonna be not even that memorable in terms of being the Evolve champion, Chris Hero, to me. But him now as the Evolve champion would have a lot of, I think, attention, because everyone noticed, like, everyone's, you know, like, watching Chris Hero matches now in a different light because of his performances recently and how much he's kind of changed. Like, he hasn't really changed a lot, but obviously doing things a little slower, building up more to bigger, like, certain spots, you know, getting that crowd involved. I mean, he's the perfect answer to being the Evolve champion right now. Thatcher is not getting that kind of response that he was getting. I think he kind of ran through all the people that he could run through and have that kind of match with, where it's just like this awesome technical stiff battle. But once he's gone through all those matches now, it's just pretty much like, okay, what do you do now? And he's been champion for almost like a year, almost like over a year, right? I think. Like, he beat, I think, Galloway in like an impromptu, non-advertised match as well. So, yeah, this is like the perfect opportunity to give Hero the title. And you want to kind of rebuild Tim Thatcher and kind of, he can still do the feud with Catch Point and kind of like rebuild himself through that and just kind of like go through the guys one by one. But eventually, I think we got to get to the point where we got to get Chris Hero against Matt Riddle for the Evolve title, which is, I think, what everyone kind of wants right now in Evolve.
And, yeah, I think you're right on that.
Yeah, and eventually Zack Sabre Jr. Beating Chris Hero in Evolve, but then again, like I said before, that's kind of like the quad on the saw with him. That might not ever happen. So, which is going to be a good thing. A storyline like that is great. Can draw, so. A lot of possibilities with Hero's champ.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say Chris Hero wins, but I'm kind of 51-49, because I could very easily see Chris Hero not winning. He is not officially on the June 11th show, but there is the potential for him to be added, of course. Things can always be shuffled around. But I do want to... So you think that Gulak and Williams are retaining the Evolve Tag titles, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think... I mean, I think this could be a really, really excellent match, but I think Gulak and Williams have to retain. I think you've got to give them a long run with these titles. Non-sanctioned street fights. So this is my theory, Brian. Trevor Lee is booked on the next night's show, but he is not booked on this night. However, he is, of course, the TNA X Division champion. I predict that Trevor Lee is going to interfere and lead Galloway and Ethan Carter III to victory. Trevor Lee also made reference, sort of in I'm assuming this is in character, maybe not, on Twitter, but not being happy with Gabe about ignoring him and something related to that. So I predict that Trevor Lee is going to interfere and help his TNA mates to victory in this match.
I'm going to take it even further. As a callback to that 100th show ROH match with the six man with Joe and Necro and Adam Pearce and VG Whitmer and all those guys, Super Dragon. Remember how Claudio came out at the end and was like, yeah, Ring of Honor, no, I'm CZW. I get the feeling TJP is going to do the same thing, man, because we all know he's got the history with TNA. Recently, he's been kind of negative on TNA, but they can kind of use that, I mean, it's so obvious, I don't know if it's so obvious, but, like, TJP, like, why pick the guy that had a lot of history with TNA, obviously, but it seems like he's going to side with them? That's what it seems like to me, so I'm going on a limb saying TJP turns. And not necessarily turns and joins, like, team TNA, whatever you want to call him, but, like, turns on Gargano, there'll be some bickering, and then he'll just leave, and then just, you know, then you have to side with Gargano against Catch Point, something like that, but to me, it's just like
a... TJP may very well do that. I understand that Evolve is getting away with a lot. I just don't see TJP joining a team TNA, given the fact that he is going to be in the Cruiserweight Classic, and we'll see what his role is in the Cruiserweight Classic, whether he's just, you know, a filler to lose in the first round, or whether he's going to be given some sort of a significant run. I don't know. We'll have to see how that all develops, but
I also think Ethan Page is going to tease being like a mystery like villain or whatever, like filling in the, like at the end, but something will happen there. You just get this feeling like it's going to end up being Ethan Page is going to somehow be the savior and all this. I don't know. That's the feeling I get because the whole history with him and Gargano going to need a partner. He chooses TJP. TJP turns on him. And out comes Ethan Page saying, please, please, let me be your partner. I want to like redeem myself and blah, blah, blah. And then eventually he'll just turn on Gargano again or something. I don't know. But that's the feeling I'm getting right now. Very reminiscent of that ROH CCW feud. So,
Matt Riddle versus Cedric Alexander. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, can't wait for that. That's going to be. It's not going to be like. It wouldn't be surprising if this was like a 12-minute match, but the best 12-minute match you've ever seen. Because we know Matt Riddle just unbelievable when it comes to transitions and counters already. Like for that real like wrestling. Style that he has that really he has just really transitioned well into pro wrestling he's a product in the making and you know I wouldn't surprise me if he actually beat Cedric Alexander, but like you said, we talked about before Cedric Alexander I think is going to get a big push and evolve just to not necessarily spite ROH but just kind of like prove like hey you had this guy and you didn't do anything with him for 5 years so what we're going to do is do what you couldn't do basically and he seems like the next challenge. Like I want to see Hero and Cedric Alexander for the world title as well. So it's another one of those. But just a lot of possibilities opened up. And you know, I think you're going to get better matches with like Hero as champ anyway. So yeah, it all makes sense. Maybe even do like a pseudo kind of draw. I don't know if you can do that. Get away with it because those are two guys that I would actually like kind of protect and evolve. I know they're facing up against each other. And those are like the two young guys that kind of are like the new faces of Evolve anyway. Well, Matt Riddle's, still in his first year, he's a rookie sensation, and it's going to be really exciting to see that match, and Matt Riddle's been on a tear lately, and every time he's on the Evolve shows, he makes those mid, like, the first hour of that show, he really makes the first hour exciting, I think, because every time he's on, he's usually on the first hour. Maybe even the second hour, but he makes the mid-card so interesting sometimes.
And it's much better than having the Premier Athlete brand, that's for sure.
Definitely. I mean, back 2-3 years ago, the Evolve mid-card was not that, or undercard was not that exciting. Now, with Cashpoint just tearing shit up all over the place, you got five guys that can kind of like do these certain style of matches. Even Fred Yehi. Gotta give him credit, too. I mean, even though he's probably like the gate of the group where he's just taking all the falls, but still holds up his end of the bargain in terms of the bargain.
Yeah, I don't know how much longer that's going to last.
Which is a good thing. Push these young guys that have that talent. More power.
I mean, he is the FIP champion. Caleb Conley is not booked on either one of these shows, so his time with the WWN Universe may have come to an end. We'll see how that... I mean, of course, he may very well also be a part of Team TNA. We'll see how that develops. But Fred Yehi versus Cedric Alexander, that takes place at Evolve 63. So Cedric Alexander has two really good matchups on these Evolve shows, and unfortunately he may very well be on the losing end of both, but at least he's going to be in two really entertaining matches. Trevor Lee will be taking on Matt Riddle. Brian, I know you have to be excited for that one.
Oh my God. Yes, I am. That to me... Even now, with Matt Riddle being at the level he is, and not necessarily being at the peak of his powers, like, still, this can be so freaking great. I mean, we know that Trevor Lee is such a, technician in the ring and really plays to the crowd. And, I can just imagine, him trying to say, hey, dude, hey, dude, trying to just mock him and shit with his accent. Just mocking the way that Matt Riddle's like, oh, man, there's a lot of possibilities in this. Especially with the character work. Potential for an awesome show stealer, nonetheless. Trevor Lee back on the Evolve show is really great. And, like you said before, the whole TNA thing makes sense. And he was there for a cup of coffee, it felt like, and then he kind of disappeared from the Evolve scene. Now he's coming back. Maybe he's coming back with a vengeance.
Ethan Carter has an open contract. I'm really hoping that it's Chris Hero, and Chris Hero gets entered into this feud, because Chris Hero can make anything amazing, and I think Ethan Carter III versus Chris Hero is just a really interesting matchup for a lot of reasons. These are two guys who can cut promos on each other. I think Chris Hero's style would suit Ethan Carter a lot better than even some of the other independent guys and some of the grappling competitors and some of the high flyers. I just think it makes a lot of sense. So I'm hopeful, whether Chris Hero is champion or not, that he takes on Ethan Carter III.
Yeah, I'm not really a big EC3 fan myself. Like, I'm not really a fan of the ring work, because he's a good talker, that's for sure. Definitely got the look, but I just don't feel he's like the main event player that everyone makes him out to be. I feel like TNA really propped him up, even though he's more like a mid-card guy to be. Like, he's not a guy that would be like world champion material, even though he was their world champion to me. But if you throw in Chris Hero, like I said before, Chris Hero could just have like great matches with almost anybody right now. And the way that Ethan Carter, like his style, like it could really gel well with Chris Hero's style right now. And they could just produce a style of match that no one can expect, especially coming from Ethan Carter. Like, to me, like the best match Ethan Carter's had that I've seen, a handful of that match with, like, I saw some YouTube clip of it, and then I watched the rest of that Spud match, where they, like, had to do black and white because of the blood and stuff, so. And that was kind of like a no DQ kind of thing. Like, this would be more of like an in-ring, one-on-one, not really relying on smoke and mirrors and stuff like that. So this could really be like a turning point, you know, for Ethan Carter if he does face Chris Hero. If not, you know, it could just be some whatever challenge, and then it's just a way to a mechanism to have EC3 just be a strong heel looking involved. But you know, you can still throw in Chris Hero and just have this amazing match that no one expects Ethan Carter to have. So, really intriguing, a lot of mysteries in this card, these two cards. But like you said, shades of that ROH CZW feud, and just all the infinite possibilities that can come from it, especially with this open policy that they're having right now with NXT and TNA. Hopefully they can, you know, have a resolution, not a resolution, that's the word I'm looking for, like a finale, because you don't want this to end abruptly because of some stupid contract thing where they're like, we can't have any more TNA guys anymore. I know we have this open storyline, so hopefully they'll build it up and then end at the right time and end it when they can.
Certainly, Drew Galloway will take on Ethan Page in an Anything Goes match. Given Galloway's the TNA champion, I think it's obvious Galloway's winning that one. We have a Cruiserweight Flashpoint. This is a prelude to the tournament. Every one of these people will be involved with the Cruiserweight Classic. Johnny Gargano, Drew Gulak, TJP, Lince Dorado, and the dreaded TBA. So the one guy, I don't think Lince Dorado is winning it. I feel pretty confident with that. I think Gargano is going to win this this prelude, just because I think Gargano is going to get a heavy push in the Cruiserweight Classic. Brian, what say you about this?
Well, I think the real question is the winner going to go back in time and save the Flash's mom stop the paradox? No?
No.
I don't even watch the show, and I already know the finale. That's another side discussion for another day. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. So that is Evolve for this weekend, and NXT will also be running their big takeover event. The end. I don't think this is going to end like Never Compromise. At least I certainly hope not. But any quick thoughts on that particular event? We've got Samoa Joe and Finn Balor in a cage. Austin Aries and Shinsuke Nakamura. We've got the tag team titles, The Revival versus American Alpha, and the women's title, Asuka versus Nia Jax. The TV has been pretty lackluster the last few months even. But these takeover events generally deliver or over-deliver, so I feel pretty confident that this... I feel like this is going to be a show of the year contender, and I feel like people are going to be surprised when it is.
I'm hesitant about the cage stipulation. I don't know. Because the main event for the last takeover was the blood. But now that you're having a cage match, you still can't do blood. Even if they did it on accident, it would still stop the match in a cage match. So I don't know. I feel like the stipulation like is kind of like not fitting their style. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they can have this awesome cage match without blood. Because to me, like, to the, best cage matches, I mean, they need blood. I mean, that's what essentially cage match. I know it's very much a different time now with, like, you know, hepatitis and all that kind of thing and the whole Magic McGinnis thing. And, you know, and, I feel like a cage match really... I mean, you look at the Jericho Ambrose match and how much that sucked. And how much they built up with this weapons match that would just... I mean, there was blood at the end, but that was because they planned a spot that... I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking with that spot at the end, but this match can be really... hit or miss. I mean, they really could, because honestly, you don't know what these guys are. They probably should have had an quick match. Now that I think about it, that would make more sense. Fit their styles, Joe being the aggressor and just trying to choke him out or something. Have a really dramatic moment where he's choking Balor out. You can still do it in the cage match, I guess, but if they're doing escape rules. Do you know if they're doing escape rules, or is this like old school NWA style?
I do not believe that they have announced one way or the other, but given it's Triple H, I expect old school rules. Because the idea behind this is that they don't want them to be able to go out into the audience and fight and brawl. Because at one of the house shows, that's exactly what happened. So I am coming under the assumption that this is going to be pinfall or submission and not escape. But I could very well be wrong about that.
Interesting stuff there. Yeah, and you know, American Alpha, they better win again, because that would be such a waste if they lost the titles already. I mean, everyone wants to see them face Gargano and Ciampa for the tag titles. I feel like that's the consensus, especially after last week's result. And, you know, that seems to be like a buzzworthy kind of tag match that, you know, people, the hardcores, the diehard NXT fans really want to see. That, I mean, you give them 15 minutes, maybe even 20, and that'd be a special match right there. You save that for the next NXT. You save that for Brooklyn, essentially. But yeah, this card is, you got rematches all over the place, and, you know, some fresh matchups. I mean, I think to me, maybe I don't know if it's just me, but obviously Nakamura and Aries is like the go-to match you really want to see. So. Hopefully they get a lot of time, just like they gave Nakamura and Zayn a lot of time. So, you know, I'm hopeful for this card, but I don't think it's going to be as good as Dallas, honestly.
No, I don't think that's going to be the case either.
Nakamura
and Zayn was so good that I don't think anything is ever going to top it. And that's not just for NXT, that's for any wrestling company. I mean, that's a five-star match, and I don't see anything topping it. But with this brand split, I think a lot of the results feel a little bit more open than before, because there's the potential for a lot of people to be called up, and we'll see. We'll have to see how this all develops. I mean, I think there's a distinct possibility that Austin Aries could come away with the victory against Nakamura if Nakamura is going to be heading up. We'll see what happens, though. But I really do think that everything is so much more wide open with this brand split. I think there's a distinct possibility American Alpha could be called up, and the Revival may very well win and take on Gargano and Ciampa next. So I think there's a lot of directions, but NXT TV really does need to get better, because this entire year has just felt like a complete waste of time, and I really want to see the TV get better. And I also want to see Nia Jax get better as well. She is not good. And, yeah, I think Asuka's going to retain. I think she should retain. Nia Jax needs a lot of work. She needs to be put in a room and just told to watch Aja Kong and Vader matches for, like, the next year and a half. And basically do that instead of what she's doing now. I think she's kind of sometimes she's getting there. She showed some flashes in the Triple Threat, but overall, Nia Jax, just to me, is just very unimpressive. And, you know, I think Bayley got something really good out of her the two times they've wrestled. But, yeah, her as the women's champion doesn't do much for me.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, because, I mean, it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be a one-woman show, but it's definitely going to be one of those Ric Flair type situations, you know what I mean?
Yeah, get the broomstick out is what you're saying.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it, but you said it. Yeah, I mean, we know Bayley. The reason the Bayley and Nia Jax were because they were doing, like, Sting Vader, essentially. If you think about it, they're just doing Sting Vader to me. Little guy getting beat up and coming back at the end. Yeah, so that's kind of how I pictured this one. But I feel like at times Nia's just going to get kicked. And just I don't know, she's going to take these kicks, I feel, and then it's going to make Asuka look like a badass. I feel like this match is more designed to make Asuka look like a badass than it is to make Nia Jax look like a monster, when I think it should be the opposite. But yeah, I think that's the only way this match is going to work, if you make Asuka look like a badass, because that's what she's been portrayed as for like months now, almost a year. And it would make sense for her to be this badass instead of like getting treated like a ragdoll, like a ragdoll by a monster. Because you feel like, you know, even though she is bigger, like you can still like get like outschooled and outclassed. Kind of like the Bruce Lee thing, whenever Bruce Lee faces a bigger opponent, still gonna go to Bruce Lee. So because of the technique and quickness, and that's what Asuka has. So that's what I kind of expect out of this match. You know, overall this card is, like I said, it's kind of mixed bag, especially with a match like this. But I mean, as it is, it's the end. So this is the end of Jerome Ballard. I mean, this has been going back to August of last year, I want to say. Like when they were starting teaming up for the tag, the Dusty Rhodes Tag Classic. So you don't really see a lot of those long-term storylines in WWE that kind of go this long. To an extent, Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns kind of had that, but that's because every time they had a scheduled match on paper, one of them got injured. So that's why it's been a year and a half building on that match. But yeah, these long-term, you know, feuds in WWE are really refreshing and really cementing it as the finale. You know, really, you know, makes it seem like more important than all their other matches, and they better not face each other for a while, you know, because this is, you call it the end, make it the end, and don't go back to it for at least a year.
Definitely. I think we can all agree that we don't need to see Samoa Joe and Finn Balor for quite some time. So NXT TakeOver, I will be doing live coverage of that this Wednesday, June the 8th. I will be live tweeting freelance results this Friday, June the 8th. And we will also have results from CZW plus Evolve all this weekend. So definitely make sure you check that out. And we will be back next week. Hopefully Sierra and Chris will be here to discuss the weekend that was in the world of pro wrestling and whatever else comes up. Brian, we are running a little bit long, so we're really not going to have a chance to talk about Best of the Super Juniors. Maybe we could do that next week. But Brian, for right now, why don't you go ahead and plug your stuff and what you do and plug the store.
Okay, it's Brian. It's Brian on Twitter, DA, not the. And you know, hit me up if you want some graphic design work done, which I've done for, you know, Jerome and some other people. And, you know, maybe we can work something out. Yeah, I mean, you've seen my PWG work, so definitely hit me up if you need some. Hit me up on Twitter if you want to have some interesting conversations about pop culture, about wrestling, or whatever. I usually do with all the Twitter peeps, having interesting conversations about pop culture and whatnot. And check out the store, pwponderings.com/store. Check out all the designs and whatnot. It's 2016, and certain people are being booked in certain places. I say it every week, but goddamn, Brock Lesnar. Has been booked in the UFC in the year 2016. My God.
Yeah, I mean, it even applies for UFC.
My God. But yeah, it's quite.
Cody Rhodes and Bola?
Cody Rhodes and Bola. Oh, yeah, that totally fits too. Holy shit, man. Wow. That shirt really. I really made out the right time.
You really nailed that one.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll have the PWG Twitter. I do the Twitter, but there's no show for a month, so. I mean, hypothetically, I would have done the live results for Best of the Super Juniors like I did last year, but unfortunately, I have a work life, so no way in hell I'm staying up all night on a Tuesday night to watch wrestling and go to work at 6 in the morning, so sorry. But yeah, we'll talk about it next week because my predictions, I think it might be coming true, except the whole I thought Kushida was going to be the final, but they put Rescue Taguchi, who apparently is having like a comeback, not a comeback year. More like a comeback tournament, like having all these great matches that he hasn't had in years. So maybe he'll step it up and have this classic with Ospreay, and then we'll be talking about Will Ospreay as the best of the Super Junior winner by next week.
Twitter.com/PWPonderings is the place to find links to all of our articles, links to results. It's going to be crazy to think about. Kevin and I were discussing this a little bit earlier, Brian. We're going to be having live tweeting from two different coasts. Over the course of Labor Day weekend with King of Trios as well as Bola, Brian. So that is going to be an insane weekend for our Twitter account.
Yeah, and hopefully yeah, we'll just hopefully keep we'll on racking up the followers like we usually do. I usually see a ton of followers every time I tweet up PWG. I guess because PWG...
Yes, I mean, you and PWG are more responsible for our followers than anyone else.
Oh, I thank you. Thank you. It's not PWG, believe me.
Twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor is the place to find me. You could also, again, support us at PWPonderings.com. So definitely go check all of that stuff out. Thank you very much for listening and supporting us. We will talk to you again next week.